Hi everybody, this is Ken. A quick note before we go on to our show today. I'd like to thank everybody for contributing to the Sonar project on Indiegogo. That's indiegogo.com/sonar. There will be a link in the show notes for today's episode. There's 6 days left to donate. 134 people have contributed. A little over $4,500. That's 23% of the goal. So I would ask you that instead of buying that Raspberry Pi, buying that extra cup of coffee, or simply replying to somebody who's wrong on the internet, could you throw a few bucks the way of Jonathan? All this research that's going to be done on this, what is essentially a research project, is going to be donated back upstream. So whatever distribution you happen to be running will eventually benefit from this, so that out of the box, the GNU Linux distributions will be more accessible by default, which will force other OS vendors to make their desktops accessible by default. Come on, folks, you know we can do this. I'd appreciate it if you could throw a few bucks their way. Also, get onto Facebook, Twitter, Identica, wherever, on the mailing list. Talk to your local lug, spread the word in wherever you work. This is going to be an easy one to do. They're only asking for 20 grand. We're already 25% of the way. The last little bit of a push this week would be absolutely fantastic. I'd appreciate it. And with that, I'll turn you back to the show. By the way, anybody who contributes, drop me an email and I'll add you to the top of the list for any swag that we happen to get here on Hacker Public Radio. Just a little bit of incentive if you didn't have enough already. So remember, Indiegogo /sonar, anywhere in the world can donate. You don't have to pick the rates that they have there. You can donate as much as you like, or as little as you like. If you can't afford it, start pimping the project. We would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Hello, HPR listeners. My name is Jezra, and I'm coming to you live from Studio Umlaut.
You're coming from a Yoda mic stand. Anyways, hello, I'm NY Bill.
And
yeah, that's the first thing I should ask you. Why are you talking into a microphone that's taped to the business end of a Red Ryder BB gun?
Because I needed a microphone stand, and I think that did a great job.
I hope it's unloaded.
Well, that, and it's a BB gun, so I don't think it's going to do too much damage. Although,
could have HPR's first live shooting.
Yeah, that's just what we need. But it works, and that's what I have lying around the house. So a microphone duct taped to a BB gun being held by a life-size statue of Yoda.
Yep, that's pretty much what everybody has, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It works, so, and it was dirt cheap. Done.
So you had an idea like a week ago. You shot it to me on Identica. Did we want to review our last HPR? Or?
Well, we certainly made some predictions about what was going to happen in 2012. And some things we were close, some things we were far off. And so we should, talk about those and say, hey, we were totally wrong or we were totally right.
Wait, we were wrong? Ever?
Maybe. Shh, don't tell anyone. Well, I thought you hit it pretty close with your prediction about Ubuntu on, say, tablets. Mm. And I think I came up with some Ubuntu on Dell, or Dell would be looking to make those tablets or something, but yeah.
I don't know what Dell's doing now. I think they're looking to go private, and who knows?
I think they're looking to get bought out by Microsoft, so long Linux support again. Spotty at best. Oh, what'd you break?
It was interesting when you said, did we want to like recap or whatever, I didn't remember half of what we talked about. So I listened to the episode again, and it seems like 2012 just flew by. And then listening to our old recording, it seems like that was like 2 years ago. It was
late December of 2011, actually.
Okay, yeah.
When we recorded.
It was a whole other time.
Yeah, I was excited about the Raspberry Pi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I ended up getting one, but you got disappointed with yours.
Yeah, very much so. For various reasons. One, proprietary video driver. And two, the lack of mounting holes, which means I can't make a custom enclosure as awesome as I would like to.
I kind of waited and waited, and then as soon as that Model B came out with the extra memory and, you know, $35, I ordered it, October or November, and it came right before Christmas. So I've only had it running now for 2 weeks, but so far it's good.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I have mounting holes. I don't know why they didn't do that in the first place.
Yeah, I don't know.
Expected them to be in cases, I imagine. But the first thing I thought of is, you know, put it somewhere and screw it to a wall and have it do whatever it's doing.
Yeah. And amazingly, not everyone has a 3D printer or access to a milling machine where they can just make their own case.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, so it's pretty much you have to buy a custom prefabricated case. And a power supply.
So, the Ubuntu phone thing, that kind of came to be. Actually, it didn't happen in 2012. Mr. Shuttleworth held it off for spite. When's it due? It's due February 2013?
Yeah, but that means they were working on it in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And by working on it, I mean they probably just copied the code for using Qt instead of GTK from Migo or Jola, whatever. So Migo, Jola, and Mer use Qt. And so it's easier for Ubuntu to just take that application developing framework, say, okay, we'll just do this using the same Qt that the other mobile people are using, and then all of those apps will run on our phone, and it's easier to do that than start fresh using GTK, which is what the rest of Ubuntu uses.
Oh, when I just said Mark held it for spite, I was joking, like, as if he listened to our old HPR. No, I'll get those two.
He probably was.
Sitting in his volcano with a cat.
Yeah.
Jezra and Bill. I'll show them. So the other prediction was automate everything. You were talking about fridges that...
Yep. Everything. Well, you know, that's debatable because they were working on it in 2012, and then in 2013, stuff came out. Sort of.
You heard of... I didn't see any... I read a lot of tech stuff online, and I didn't see any mention of any, like a fridge you can plug in Cat 5.
Well, yeah, maybe it's not a fridge. Maybe it's a firearm that it was running Linux that you can access through a web browser.
I'm just remembering back now. I think I heard of, like, development of just kind of like a framework for these devices or, you know, standardizing APIs or something.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
There's a company called NinjaBlox, or the device that is made is called a NinjaBlox, and it is based on the BeagleBone, and NinjaBlox are a series of, how to explain this? NinjaBlox is a small computer that takes input from its environment, so there would be like temperature sensors, that sort of thing, and it does something. It's a way of, in a sense, home automation.
Hmm.
So that someone could say, oh, front door is open.
Oh, all right.
My house is now interneted.
And I'm sure you can control it all from your Android phone or what have you.
You can control it all from your web browser. Because I still think controlling things from a single point device is bad.
I don't know. I just saw a front door lock that you can control with your Android phone. And a doorbell that has a camera in it, so you know who's ringing your doorbell and you can unlock your phone from a remote location.
Yes. Someone and know. So does that require just an Android app, or is there a web API that someone can access through a web browser?
I'm not sure how they're doing it, but it is controlled by an Android app. And it's a physical lock that you put over your deadbolt.
Yeah, I thought those were awesome. Mm. And it has a little servo inside that just unbolts the deadbolt.
That's it.
Yep. Which is very cool.
My doorbell is broken at the moment because we're in a community where, you know, you get a lot of people want to hand out pamphlets and stuff. And
that's everywhere.
It drives me nuts. And the button fell out of my doorbell, and I realized those people they wouldn't open the screen and knock. So I left it broken. Works great.
Oh, so they just press the button and stand there for a while and then leave.
There's no button. It's just like the case. The button fell out.
Oh.
But that doorbell thing with the camera in it, I would probably... I'm a target market for that one. I would love that. Can ignore people or go pick up your UPS package.
That sounds like a pretty awesome idea. And it can be done fairly easily.
Hmm. Can't remember any other predictions.
What predictions were there?
Or do you have some predictions for this year?
No, I probably just a rehash of what I thought was going to happen last year, and it's going to happen again this year. But maybe it's the year of Linux on the desktop.
Hmm. We're not going to have desktops, I don't think.
How about this? It's the year of Linux on the tablet.
Hmm. That's, that could be the Android's got a Linux core.
No, 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 no. Linux. Not Android. GNU Linux. GNU plus Linux. A proper Linux. A real Linux.
Yes, I would like that.
Yes.
I'm slightly interested in tablets, and if there was an actual Linux tablet that I can control, I would have gotten one already, but... I feel like, given my Android phone, I just feel like it's like a consumer device, and I don't know what's going on behind the screen, so to say.
How about the phablet? The phone, the tablet, the big phone.
Those are coming too.
The phone with the 6-inch screen running GNU Linux. That's what I'm looking for.
I don't know if you're joking or you read the article that there is actually one coming out that's that size.
Oh, awesome. Good. As it should be.
How silly would these people look? At least the cops will see them when they're on the phone driving with that big giant.
Do you remember the Dell Streak?
I don't. Well.
5-inch screen.
Yes.
Yeah, it was big. But you know what? It could work as a tablet.
Yep.
Is it a big phone or is it a small tablet?
I actually use my phone for maybe 5% of my phone's function is actually phone calls, so. I wouldn't mind a larger phone, but as soon as I have to hold it up to my head at work or something, no, that would be weird.
Yeah, well, see, then you get a Bluetooth headset, and then you're all set.
Oh, that's true. And plus, okay, I like it in my front pocket, so.
Here's what you do. You put your phone in your front pocket. You put in your Bluetooth headset. You go to a conference where they have a secure mumble server set up. Your phone is in your pocket, you press it to activate it to talk, and then you go click, beep, 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 beep. Hi, this is Bill, I'm over in section blah, blah, blah. And then we're talking about, that's Star Trek right there.
Hmm.
That is the Star Trek communicator.
Yeah.
Using Mumble. Yeah. I say we go for it.
Actually, the tablets we have now, the devices, they're actually better than what they were showing in Star Trek. Smaller, thinner.
Yes.
Okay, so
that's very true.
I don't really have like predictions for things coming up. I just have like a general feeling of the way things are moving. Oh, I'm looking at my notes now. I might just cut this little piece out. But
then before you do that, okay, you're gonna leave this piece in because I'm gonna tell you what Star Trek did wrong.
Oh, okay, go for it. Yeah.
And here's what I think Star Trek did wrong. They named their computer computer.
Computer. Yeah, you have to say it like Scotty.
Well, I was talking, you know, more Picard era, Star Trek Next Generation.
Okay.
But the computer, named computer? Who does that? I've got like 5 or 6 computers. Not a single one is named computer.
No. Mine are, Might all have box on the end, so it might be arch box or basement box or myth box.
And it's coming to the point at my place where the computers themselves are becoming less and less important, and the whole network that they're connected to is becoming more and more important.
Yeah, now that you say it. Yes, you're right. I'm noticing, as you're saying that, I'm noticing it now. Like, I have computers that are doing dedicated things, and I access them from other rooms, and I'm SSHing around my own house.
And it is, so instead of talking to a computer, you're talking to your house. Hmm. The way I probably, the way I talk to my car when it starts up right away in the morning and say, oh, good job, Gertie, because my car has a name.
So where you're going with this is Star Trek should have called the computer house.
Well, Star Trek should have called the computer ship.
Yeah, there you go.
Or given it an actual name, because that's something that humans do. We anthropomorphize everything. Or at least I do.
But that's the future. They know better.
Well, they don't, because it's still based on something that someone had to write in the 80s, and they did a great job of it. But they didn't realize that... Okay, perfect example. Data. Data has a name. Data is just a computer with a series of parts and sensors.
Good point.
But Data is a unique entity with a name. And computer is just far too generic. My home network is a unique entity with a name and a bunch of sensors.
Yep. When I want to hack it, I just say, Jezrenet.
Exactly.
Oh, I just thought of something else we talked about. Well, we mentioned briefly, hey, buddy. And we didn't even actually explain what it was, but hey, buddy is an Identica front end that you wrote, and a bunch of us like helped beta test it and give you bug...
Constant beta testing.
Beta testing, bug reports, chipping in code and stuff. It was a lot of fun. But what do you think about what's going to happen with HeyBuddy and this Pump.io now?
I think everything's... Well, so HeyBuddy communicates with Identica status.net servers. And it communicates with the status.net portion of that server. So if that server on the underside, on the back end, is using Pump.io, it doesn't matter. So if status server 1 is talking to status server 2 using Pump.io, it doesn't matter to HeyBuddy because HeyBuddy is communicating with the status server through the status API.
Okay.
So how they communicate in the back end is irrelevant, at least as far as HeyBuddy goes.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't know if it was going to be like a whole big rewrite or if it was going to just stay functional for our own StatusNet instances.
We'll see. It depends on how things change in the future.
Okay, cool. That was just another thing from my notes here. Well, they're not quite solid predictions, but one of the things I just see coming down the line is it seems like everything is moving towards this walled garden model like Apple has. It seems like Microsoft now wants to do this with Windows 8. There's going to be an Android. Seems like computer users are being gobbled up and separated into little markets and
walled gardens and vertical silos.
I just see this continuing to happen. It's taking the what we as hackers enjoy about computers, which is controlling our own computers, and just moving it towards they're trying to make us consumers, where we're just pressing the buttons and watching fancy things on the screen. And it seems like at the moment you have to choose which little market you're going in. Now I'm reluctantly an Android, but don't want to be.
Because you have no viable open source option.
Yes. So. Yeah.
Which is why I don't own a mobile phone.
Oh, you don't?
No. Well, I mean, I own an N900. It's not connected as a mobile phone.
Is it has the capability, though, if...
Yeah, I could put the chip in and turn it into a telephone.
I see.
But I use it as a pocket computer. It is a full GNU Linux operating system in my pocket.
Hmm. I wonder if I can get it to work with Verizon. I should look into that. I'm due for a new phone. I'm still on the original droid, the original Motorola droid, and it's kind of actually physically falling apart now.
Well, then I'm going to suggest you don't get an N900 because they are old.
Oh, okay.
You can't get a new one.
So we are back to the situation where there are no choices.
No. If you wanted something more recent, maybe an N9.
All right.
Which was Nokia's only Nego phone. Well, there was the N950, but that was developer only. If you could get one of those, you would be very, very happy.
I'll check it out. You have any predictions or ideas or how you think things are going?
Other than GNU Linux on the tablet and possibly the phablet, no. Smaller. I predict someone will release an ARM-based computer that has open source drivers for its video card.
They don't want to cater to us. Yes, that would be cool, though.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Okay, so if we're going to kind of follow our same layout as the last episode, we went into projects next, so what have you been up to?
Well, last year I had a wine box that I was going to turn into a computer, and that wine box is now still a wine box, and it holds a bunch of electronics components for when I'm doing soldering. So I had a few projects. One was getting started with the BeagleBone, and with the BeagleBone computer, small ARM-based computer with plenty of pins, and I've got a lantern connected to that right now with three LEDs that have a web browser can control them, turn them on, turn them off, make them flicker, make them fade in and out. Unfortunately, I just fried something on that machine, and so the rotary telephone that I had connected to it so that I could use a rotary phone as a computer input device has failed. I may be able to fix it, but I won't know until later today. And I've got a Raspberry Pi that I'm going to be working on also later today, doing some custom software. And I have a PIR, which is basically it's a motion detector. And so things will happen when someone walks by this computer.
I mentioned last time having that little teensy board, and that was kind of my 2600 project. That's something I only worked at. It gave me something to do when I went to those meetings. And our meetings moved to a college where only students can have access to Wi-Fi. So I go to these meetings now, and I just kind of sit there. So I stopped working with the teensy. But then when I got the RPi, I'm getting back into that. And this might be more my style, a full computer with some GPIO pins, not just a little development board. I feel like I have more potential with this.
I would say it would depend on what you want to do with the GPIOs.
Actually, the first thing that popped into my head was getting that 1541 drive going again. But looking into it, you can program Python with the RPi, which I would feel comfortable in. But from what I'm reading, Python is not a very doesn't do timing well. So I don't know what type of timing I need with that old device.
No, I can give you absolutely no advice on that.
Oh. They said if you need very strict timing on the GPIO pins, I think they were recommending C, which I've dabbled in before. I just have to relearn everything I dabbled in.
Well, if there's a Python library written for the Raspberry Pi,
yes,
and there is.
Yes.
You may be able to use that. So that library will access the GPIO pins, and it won't necessarily be Python accessing them, but it'll be Python accessing the library that accesses them.
Yep.
And that library will be written in C.
But from what I'm reading, there's still like timing and latency issues. If you need data going across, you know, from a device, you need a certain timing, and if your pins aren't doing it, you're just going to be dropping data.
Oh, well, how fast does it need to be to read and write to that? It's a Commodore drive, right?
That's what keeps me laughing, because how fast could a Commodore drive be? But the other project I kind of thought about doing with it was something we joked about on Identica, like 6 months ago, but now that I have a Pi, I was thinking maybe put it in the basement, run some wires to the things in the basement, and then have an account that this thing goes, you know, Bill's basement says the washer's done, or Bill's basement says the dehumidifier's full, like something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so then I'm going to assume that you have your washer and dryer down in the basement.
Yes. Washer, dryer, and so sump pump, dehumidifier, furnace, water heater.
So you would need some sort of sensor connected to all of those things.
I'd run a very small wire over and then figure out what on the washer is making the buzzer work, and then just put a little mousetrap relay in there. The 110 can fire the relay, and the RPi can be watching the pins for, I don't know, 5 volts or closure, or and then that would trigger, trigger a dent.
5 volts will fry it, just so you know.
What are they running on?
Either 1.8 or 3.3. Oh,
okay. Well, I didn't dig into it. I said 5 volts because the power supply I built for it was... So that's the 5 volts input, and then probably 3.3, like TTL logic voltage.
Well, as someone who has fried a recent computer...
Okay, you're my go-to guy.
just so you don't get sad. Actually, I'm not sure how fried it is. I cannot program any of the pins for reading input. So I haven't tested them for output yet.
What kind of computer?
This was the BeagleBone, where I shorted it on a 5-volt pin. And then, sad days. Oh, one other project. Here we go. I recently purchased, and I'm waiting for it to arrive, a GPS device for a home computer. USB GPS device. For this reason. That GPS device is going to be getting satellite data through GPS satellites, blah, blah, blah. And that GPS data will include time data, atomic clock time data. So then using that GPS device and NTP, on my computer, Network Time Protocol, I will have my entire home network synced to atomic clock time.
Nice.
So I would be pretty much a Stratum 0 or Stratum 1 level time server.
And you will never be late to anything again.
Oh, I will always be late, but at least all of my computers will be synced to each other within a few microseconds of time.
Oh, I just recalled something. I'm just going to jump back in time here.
Do it.
When we were talking about how... phones and such, you're locked into their walled garden or, you know, their ecosystem. And I just read today that it is now illegal to unlock a carrier's phone. When did these become the carrier's phone? I mean, it just puts into my head, like, okay, you bought this bed, but it's illegal for you to move it into the spare bedroom.
You didn't buy the bed.
I didn't buy the bed?
No. Well, the bed you might have bought, the phone you didn't.
Yeah, they're like us. They're subsidized then. You do.
Subsidized, which means you co-own it with the carrier.
But after your 2 years or whatever that lease is, I mean, you've paid all your money and it's your device, right?
Then you should be able to unlock it. Yeah, because you own it, you should unlock it.
The law went into effect today. They're telling us what to do, man.
AT&T will unlock it. Piss on them, but... apparently, they will unlock it after 2 years. It's illegal for you to do it, but it's okay for the carrier to do it.
Yeah, they'll probably want to lock you into a 2-year contract with them to do it.
Of course.
Okay, ready? We're going to time shift back up to where we were. Or wherever that was. I don't know. You got anything else?
Yeah, no, not really. Well, we should do this more often instead of just once a year.
Yeah, I do. The problem is coming up with a topic. And what we're doing here is kind of like a show about us, which is kind of strange. I don't know who would want to hear this.
Probably no one.
They can just hit fast forward. I don't care. But yeah, the topic is the problem. And then sometimes some topics come up, but they're just like a little bit over our heads, or it's going to take like a whole bunch of research, and we're not going to be an authority on it. So half the people listening will probably be going, these guys are talking bullshit. Oh, and by the way, like I said, I'll cut things out. If you want, I'll ship it over to you, and then you can give it a listen through, and if you're not comfortable with something.
I'm going to call you the editor and producer.
Okay, so you can blame me either way.
Yeah.
All right. I might leave that part in then.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess we have to think up a closing or something.
Goodbye, everybody.
You're not going to do a contact info? Because you know everybody's going to want to send us email about this crap.
Okay, here we go. If you would like to get in touch with us, I, Jezra, can be reached at jezra@jezra.net. That would be my email address. And I also have a status instance, status.jezra.net. And I'm on some other social media doohickey jobby thingies and some forums here and there.
I'll tell you, buddy, if you put your name into the Goog, you're like the whole first two pages with. You have a unique name.
The Goog. Yep.
Actually, when you just gave your contact info, it reminded me of the last episode we did.
Gunmonkey.
Yeah, I did not have gunmonkeynet.net. And after that episode was when I was asking you, I think that was when I was asking you, you know, who did you use as a registrar? And that's when I got the ball rolling on that whole thing. And so now, yes, I have my own StatusNet instance, gunmonkeynet.net/statusnet. And my email address is nybill@gunmonkeynet.net.
Love the recursion there. Well, I guess it's not recursion.
But. You know, I did the recursion as a joke because somebody's squatting on gunmonkey.everything.
So, sons of bitches.
Yep, it's spite again.
Oh, it'd be redundancy.
The redundancy, I just, you know, if somebody's going to squat on everything, I'll just go net.net and, you know, I'm done.
Sons of bitches.
Okay, so that's another yearly recap of, the Us
what a
show.
A crappy year.
All right, buddy.
You take care, Bill.
All right, see you, man.
Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.